hate to interrupt the regularly scheduled program, but there's something I want to address today. Before we get into it, welcome to Exposing the Script Podcast, brought to you by your man, JC3. The emails, the texts, and the phone calls have been crazy. Folk are really feeling what I'm trying to do, and I greatly appreciate it. So do your boy a favor. Tap that subscribe button, man. Stop playing. Like this episode and share. Now let's get to the business at hand. So there's a conversation going on that's really grabbed my attention. And if you don't mind, I just want to put a little weight on it. The conversation is centered around the decline of church attendance amongst the believers. It's a valid topic, and I really want us to discuss it. But to be honest, there's an elephant in the room that no one seems to want to address. So if you don't mind, allow me to set this up. If you take the average person and you really think about where they are. Now, I need us to come off of our pedestals for just a second and truly look at this situation. The average individual deals with a lot, and they deal with it on a constant basis. When you think about it, the main battle a person faces is the fight within themselves. They got the past and all the hard roads they had to travel. Some folk have come from some really trying circumstances. Then you add the people they've encountered on life's journey. I've heard and I've witnessed a lot of vicious things that people can do to one another. It leaves us battered, scarred, and traumatized. The average person is carrying around all of that. Then you got to add to the mix the present day struggles, trying to make a living for yourself. And if you got a family, you have to provide for them too. And let's not forget trying to navigate through life as well, of attempting to, move forward while avoiding pitfalls, booby traps, and snakes. It can be a bit overwhelming. I haven't even brought up those that struggle with addictions and cravings and certain other destructive behaviors. So just briefly looking at the average person, they really got a lot going on with themselves. Then here comes old pastor friend, brother deacon, sister choir member, or how about Auntie Usher? We can't forget about the super saint that lives across the street. Here they come telling that individual how they need to be in church. So after hearing the promises of God, the hope in Christ, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they finally decide to show up. And oh, when they show up, they're met with all manners of foolishness. But let me be clear. I'm not referring to every church. I'm not talking about everybody. There are some churches out there doing the best that they can to function as the pleasing bride Jesus saved them to be. They're minimizing self, and they really are trying, allowing God to get the true glory that's due to his name. So I won't put them in a conversation. But it's the ones that are filled with career church folk, the ones where they invest more money into their building than into the service of the people, where the program is more important than the God they say they love. The house of the Lord, where his children are constantly at each other's throats. Now, I have to ask you a genuine question. How do you expect a person that deals with all that they do to attach themselves to something like that? And if we're going to try to figure that out, can we at least include the actions of the church that folk no longer want to attend? That's the elephant in the room, because the misconception is people have stopped going because they have somehow fallen away from Christ. And even statistics don't support that. I found one that says every year, 2.7 million church members fall into inactivity. This translates into the realization that people are leaving the church. From our research, we have found that they are leaving as hurting and wounded victims of some kind of abuse, disillusionment, or just plain neglect. Now, can we unpack that? Because maybe, just maybe, folks are not attending because they are tired of being mishandled. Now, we don't want to have that conversation. When you begin to talk like that, they want to say how rebellious you are or how you're unwilling to submit to biblical authority. Could it be that the authority you want me to submit to isn't so biblical? I'm just asking a question. I mean, since I'm already in trouble, I'm going to go and push the line. If you think I'm making this up, we can examine what I call the three P's. The church consists of the people in position, and the pastor. So when you come to the people, I mean, when I first come into your place of worship, I'm met with this furious campaign to become a member. The people, they're cool in the beginning, very warm, welcoming. But as I start to hang around and get to know folk, the real begins to come out. The very ones that were so warm and welcoming have now somehow become cold-hearted, judgmental. I mean, some sanctified backbiters. They'll hug your neck at the door, only to run to their clique and talk about you, your spouse, your children, your clothes, your car, your house, your dog, the painting on your wall, heck, your mama and your daddy ain't safe around them. And it don't matter if what they're saying is true. But these are my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Now, I don't want to give off the aura that people must be perfect. We as individuals in Christ are striving for perfection. And it would be extremely naive to think that we won't face any issues amongst the people. So I'm not trying to say it like that. But the majority of the people can't be bitter, nasty, and impossible to get along with. They can't openly and boldly defy what scripture teaches and expect somebody to support. I've been there, and that fruit don't taste good. Now, y'all help me out with this. Leave me a comment if you know what I'm talking about. You have your people in position. These are the ones who have committed to the cause and now have a position in the church. They are not the pastors. They're the deacons, the youth leaders, the choir directors, the ushers. They are the ones who sit in their positions and look down their noses at folk. Now, keep it real. You know some. They put the programs together. They organize the events. And what I've come to learn about them is they often have their own agendas. They're trying to get in a particular circle. They're the ones who they always throwing around what they think is right versus what is actually biblical. And if you listen to some of them, they'll have you participating in division. They'll have you causing havoc. I mean, working against the vision of the ministry. I've run across a few of those, too. The people in position who try to run the church like it's a country club or a business. I just want to let you know, I see you. They the gatekeepers of the ministry. You can't participate here unless you do things our way. Again, I ask, why would somebody attach themselves to something like that? Now, in spite of this, I can find a glimmer of hope if the pastor is really standing on his square. I can get past the messy people and the politicking people in various positions. I can deal with that if the pastor is preaching and teaching God's word as God intended it to be. Well, I'm here now, so I might as well just dive all the way in. 9 times out of 10, this ain't the case either. Instead of taking the time to learn what they say, believe, and preach, they're more worried about getting their titles correct. Call me apostle, bishop, doctor. Respectfully, I want to talk to you because you put more emphasis on your image than you do your tools. And if it isn't your title, it's your money. Oh, a preacher got to get paid. I'm not saying that pastors shouldn't get paid. It's biblical, and you should be rewarded for your work, your sacrifices, and the things you do in the Lord. My problem is you can't be focused more on your pockets than you are your preach. Doesn't the Bible teach that your provisions come from the Lord? shouldn't I ain't be doing the work? I mean, since you preach that God will provide, or do you really believe the words that you teach? Why y'all don't like these questions? You attempt to teach me to trust God as you, the leader, make a way for yourself. How does that work? Could it be that people don't want to attend church because they don't see the power that Jesus Christ says the church should possess? And how can we, when about 70% of the pastors don't teach and preach from the entire Bible? They build their entire ministry on about 25 books. And the last time I checked, thought it was 66. They cherry pick scriptures to fit what they want to say instead of opening the Bible and exposing us to what the Bible is trying to tell us. You don't believe me? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard your pastor and your preacher teach and preach from all the books of the Bible? I've been in church for almost 20 years, and there are about 20 books that I seldomly hear from. And if I wasn't a student of scripture, there would be a lot of holes in my faith. Because instead of me coming to your church and hearing you lay out a complete case for the ways of God, I have to listen to you lie. Then you tell me that God told you to tell me that. Wow. You know how many so-called prophets have lied to me in the name of the Lord? Said this was going to happen by then, and it never did. Or they proclaimed that I would live very free, full of substance, only to be met with the most trying times in my life. I'm sorry, y'all, but I got to keep it 100. People don't remain with a particular church because they are tired of being malnourished. Folk are hungry. And you can't expect the body to grow and mature if you don't receive, if the body don't receive all the nutrients. You can't expect people to change if you don't use the most important tool God gave you, His Word. You must understand that the power people are looking for, it don't reside in your charisma, your personality, or your wit. It's not in your social networking, your personal vision, or your ability to rule with an iron fist. The power that people are hungry for and are seeking is only found in God's Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 lets us know that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, I don't mean to ruffle no feathers or anything like that, so I'm going to try to get out this thing. I don't believe in presenting a problem without offering a solution. So how can these type of churches get back on track? It's very simple. And since we're dealing with the church, we must look at the Bible to find a solution. And it's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 47. But first, let me give you a little backdrop about what's going on in that scripture. It's the day of Pentecost. The promises of the believer being indwelled by the Holy Spirit has just been fulfilled. People were there, and they came from all over the world. As the disciples preached, they heard them preach in their very own languages, and some of the people thought that they were drunk. Now, I know I'm just going through this quickly, but I'm trying to get somewhere. And Peter let everyone know that they're not drunk, but they're operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And after Peter preached, 3,000 souls were saved. And here we have the mark of the first church. So now it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. verse 46, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and a generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, here's what's going on. This new church devoted themselves to learning the Bible, to fellowship and prayer. They were in unity in both belief and practice. That belief was centered around scripture. They pulled their resources together and engaged in ministry. They didn't sell fish plates. They didn't raffle tickets, or they didn't try to guilt anyone into giving. They willfully and cheerfully gave, watch this, sacrificially. Signs and wonders were performed by the apostles, and the people of God experienced favor. And then the Lord added to their number day by day. So maybe the numbers are declining because the Lord isn't adding to your church. He's not adding to your church because there's no devotion to his word. And since the pastor teaches everything but his word, there's no fellowship, no prayer, no ministry, no giving, no power, no favor of God. And that's probably why some buildings with a church sign on the outside are losing their members on the inside. And if you want to turn that around, man, just get back to the blueprint. Until next time, this is JC3. Thank you for pulling up to Exposing the Script. Don't forget to tap that subscribe button. Hit the like button too. Peace.